It's NFL for all this Thanksgiving with a week of Game Pass on DAZN for just 99p. So come and watch all the games at our place.
Let's get this thing going.
Whether you're a stats king, tune in I 10 this month, or just here for turkey.
Only two things you need, turkey to eat and a football to throw.
Get every touchdown and every iconic tradition.
He's got it! Touchdown!
Celebrate Thanksgiving with DAZN for just 99p. Buy now at DAZN.com/NFL.
Try to be the best you can be at those things. And if you are really good at a few specific things, you're going to have a better chance to make it. And that's been kind of the motto since day one, and it's worked out really well.
That's the best advice I've ever heard from somebody, ever. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. You know, Tim, I say this a lot, and maybe I lie a lot, but I'm excited about this one. I've been talking about this guy a couple weeks now, maybe a good month and a half. I was aware of him, obviously, because he's a tough guy, a heavy, a player that I like to watch. But I think this year he's really put a stamp in the league. He's got an opportunity to play some ice, getting over 12, 13 minutes of ice time per game. He's putting up points and just asserting himself as a physical presence out there like he always does. Matt Olivier is joining the show. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We were chatting before, and just a well-spoken guy. I was shocked, and I'm like, I thought you were going to be French, like Olivier last name, and I was just very pleasantly surprised that you speak, you know, the King's English. Very, very nice.
Yeah. Well, I was born in the States and grew up in the U.S. and Germany for a bit following my dad's career. So I learned English before French. So, nice. My whole family, everyone's French speaking at home. But obviously playing hockey, you're immersed in English all the time. So
it's nice.
Well, listen, it's nice.
We want to thank you for having on the show. It's awesome. I've been talking about you lately. I don't know if you've caught on, but I was super pumped about your Jack Guy fight earlier this season. It was just one of the best fights I've seen in years. And I don't say that lightly, because I hate when heavyweights fight these days, because it's just a huge show. Throwing punches, nothing lands. I feel like when you fight, there's some action there. There's some bite to your punches. And then you go and do what you did versus the Boston Bruins, scoring goals, giving a young guy a shot in Vial, and just playing fantastic. And I just felt like I needed to say something. And I truly meant it when I said there should be an award for like an unsung hero, for a guy who does it all but still can play the game. And Bob Probert came to mind. The guy made the All-Star game for his merit. Put up a ton of goals, ton of points, playing alongside Stevie Y. You're playing fantastic, man. What's it like this year? Because I know you played for 5 years already. To all of a sudden just be like, it's all clicking. You're having a great season, 6 goals, 3 assists. Does it feel good for you?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's been a good start of the year. I think the way our team was kind of shaping up with new management, new coach, everyone just kind of had a clean slate. And I felt like there were spurts in the last two seasons where I was kind of getting something going, and then something would happen where I was either out of the lineup or you get hurt or, number of reasons why, I just couldn't get that flow going. And yeah. I feel like this year has been, with the fresh, clean slate that everyone gets when a new coach comes in, I thought it was obviously a good opportunity for everyone to, earn your ice time, your opportunities. So fortunately, it's been going well.
And that's rare, because just the way the game is going. Like, I went and saw a game this weekend when I was in San Jose, Buffalo, San Jose. My wife was with me, and she went to all my games for a decade. And she leans over this weekend and she goes, it doesn't even seem like it's a hockey game. I was like, why? What's going on? She's like, nobody's hit anybody. I don't hear the glass banging. I don't hear the crowd cheering. There's no action here. And she's like, is this how hockey is these days? And I'm like, yeah. So it's rare for a player like you to be just blowing up right now, because you're the unicorn now. What's that like? Is it strange to just be the outlier now, the guy who's physical, fights, but also putting points on the board?
Well, I think, yeah, but I think also there's value there. I mean, the less yeah. guys there are in that style, the more teams are going to want a guy like that because they're so effective. And I always think of the name Tom Wilson always pops to mind. I think that's an unreal,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of the benchmark. That's what, you know, guys like me should aim to be. Now, that's really hard to achieve. He's talking about a unicorn. He's definitely one of those, but I think that's, you know, guys like that are definitely like their value is just going up and up. And, you know, obviously they're effective and they can do a good job. So that's kind of the benchmark that I think guys that play kind of my style should aim for. And it's not an easy one, that's for sure. But there's certainly value in that.
Well, coming through the queue, obviously not a physical league in itself. Did you have to learn how to play and just not put a ton of points on the board, but just not be a goon like I was out there? Is that where you cut your teeth on how to be a decent hockey player?
Well, when I came into the queue, that was before they put in all the fighting rules. So we still had guys that fought 30, 35, 40 times a year, and it's still tough.
Crazy.
And then my 18-year-old year, they put in the 10 fight rule. So then all of a sudden that changed, but there were still some tough guys. Mm-hmm. But no, I was always kind of I was a good player growing up. I wasn't like a standout high prospect, but I was always a good player. And when I got to the queue, you know, I saw all those guys playing, and obviously I grew up watching pro hockey and seeing those guys. And I was kind of in and out as a 16-year-old, and I just figured, you know, what's the one thing I can do to add to my game so I can stay in the lineup? And, you know, the guys that I was rotating in and out with, they weren't fighting. So I was like, if I add that, maybe I can get an edge. And that's kind of how the fighting thing started. And the first fight I got in, I got absolutely killed, not even close. And then I just, I never got scratched after that. I guess the coach liked the way that I was kind of thinking and thought that I, you know, wanted to do some extra work and all that. So, and then I kind of just took off from there and built the identity that I have today.
What's it like now in the show? Because there is so little hitting. When you're on the ice, is the other team just screaming? Like, he's on, heads up, like, watch out. Are they losing it just when you're out there every time?
I don't know, actually. I it's hard to say because you're so focused, like, when I'm playing. I do think that if you get a few good hits early in the game, sometimes, you know, it'll get you more space, or maybe you'll get to a puck first, or where you shouldn't be first, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely still the intimidation aspect, but... Yeah, no, there's definitely guys in the league that, you know, guys are yelling on the bench and they're like, hey, like, watch out because this guy's coming. There's still a few of those, but, you know, it's a challenge where, you know, as a team, we're obviously trying to be all physical and, yeah, it's just changed. Like, not everyone's going to do it, but hey, you know, that's just my style of playing. So,
oh, hell yeah. It's so beneficial. And just even last week, or I think it was a week and a half ago, your goal versus the Bruins, you're just driving the net and no one stops you. Like, what was that like? You just didn't feel anybody pushing. You're just like, all right, I'll take it across the net and score.
Yeah, that's a weird one because it's also on the PK. So, you know, when guys are on the power play, they're probably not thinking, okay, yeah, let's be physical right now, right? And mm-hmm. I was kind of like in puck protection mode, and you know, it was kind of a weird one. But I remember just coming around the net, and I'm almost to the goal line, and Adam Fantilli's in the slot, just ready to take a one timer, and I just looked him off because I had a plane, I just a plane lane to the net, and I just remember thinking, gosh, I better put this one in because I just looked off Fance, but. It worked out, but obviously I think if he wasn't there, the D-man probably would have came down on me. He had to play kind of a 2-on-1 there. So that's how it opened up.
Did you tell Adam that you have more goals than he does this year and to know his role and mind his business?
No, he works hard at every day at his game. And, you know, he's doing a lot of good things this year. It seems like it's just not going in for him, or not as much as he'd like, but he still has like 9, 10 points maybe. So it's not like he's playing like bad. He's playing really good. He's just, no, you know,
you're just playing better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try not to give him too much of a hard time with it because he's a good kid, but you know, maybe a few chirps here and there won't hurt.
Listen, you've got your career high in goals already. I don't want to say jinx you or anything. You're playing fantastic hockey, but I think everybody knows you from last year. And let's talk. I know Tim wants to get on this. It was the Matt Rempe situation, this young kid coming in. Tim, what happened with that situation?
Well, we actually had Fantilli on the show this summer, and he told the story where Rempe, obviously, this is like right in the middle of Rempe mania last season. And he had just fought the night before he played you guys. And it was Delorier, of all people, that he fought. And the way Fantilli said it was that you kind of gave him a chance to say, hey, we're playing you again in a few days. We don't have to go tonight. You can take the night off. And Rempe said, no, let's do it. You guys fight and you beat him pretty good. Is that the story? And how did that go?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, I mean, obviously we all saw that fight and it was a hell of a fight. Those guys were going at it. Yeah, violent. And they're going at it. And this kid is just getting challenged left and right. So we're playing a home and home. And obviously, like, I'm at home. I kind of figured, okay, like, this is kind of a good moment for us to have one. But at the same time, I knew that, you know, going into MSG, never an easy building to play. They were really good teams. So it was kind of hey, listen, man, like, I get last night was nuts. Your hand might be busted up, whatever. Like, we can do this next game kind of thing. And he, to his credit, he's like, no, let's do it. So I'm like, all right, like, perfect. Let's do it. And that's just, yeah, that's just,
was that during like warmups or just the conversation earlier in the game?
Yeah, in warmups, I believe. Yeah, it's starting to be a little far in my memory, but yeah, it was in warmups, and that's pretty much the gist of it.
Well, it seems like Rempe has brought back like the resurgence of the heavy hitters and the heavyweights. That, I mean, there have been guys like you have been around for a few years, but all of a sudden it's front and center again when it seemed like it was dwindling. Do you think that's a good thing for hockey?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's entertaining. I think people love it. There's always a different roar in the rink where when there's a fight, it's always kind of a different vibe. People are just entertained. I mean, you just look at the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight wasn't great, but people were all over that. There's just something about a fight that people love. And, you know, hockey being the fast sport that it is and very entertaining live, you add that element to it. I think it's great for the game for sure. People, brings fans to the building.
Going in, and I don't know Rempe at all. So I've never talked to him really too much. I reached out to him to see how it's going. You knew how to beat him right away, right? Like, he was pretty a one-dimensional guy. Did you look at video and be like, I knew exactly what I was going to do going into this fight? Because it looked like you had a plan. You got inside and you just dominated.
That's a tough one for me to talk about because I'm usually just smaller than most guys. I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
I don't have crazy long arms. So the one thing I do have is kind of a boxing background and good technique. So that's kind of how I do my own thing. But I mean, any guy that's taller than I am, I mean, it's just a basic boxing principle. You want to get inside. So that was obviously, he could have been 6'3". I would have been thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But no, tons of respect going his way. Like, you know, John, you probably had this like nervousness before games where you can't sleep and you're staring at the ceiling. You're like, I'm going to have to do this tonight. Like, I think we all go through it, especially the guys that fight. So that was like a different, like, high alert mode that I was in. I was like, okay, I'm in for one. 'Cause this kid's tough. And I just kind of rolled with what was given in that fight. And, you know, to his credit, he stood in there and he
ate a lot.
He's a tough kid. He really is. And, you know, I don't like talking about winning and losing because you could be on the bad end of a fight any given night. And Jody Shelley gave me the best tip, which was he was like, I didn't care if I won or lost. I just wanted to go. And I was there and I was showing up. So that was always kind of my approach with the whole fighting thing.
How did it feel going to the box? Because I've been there many times, or the night before, you're like, oh, okay, like, here we go. And then as soon as the fight's over, And you know you had a good go. Like, you didn't embarrass yourself. How good did that feel going back to the box? Like, everybody's watching. Like, it's Madison Square Garden. That feel pretty good?
Yeah, well, it was in our building.
Oh, was that home? Excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah. Even better. It was in Columbus. Yeah. And Columbus fans are very passionate. Our building's full pretty much every game. And it was humming. Like, it was not like I've never seen the building like that before. And that's what you want on your home ice, right? You want to get the crowd into it. And they're an easy crowd to get into, but that was kind of a different sound than usual. Like, they were humming. So it was fun to, definitely fun to be a part of. But yeah, that was awesome.
What do you like better, fighting or scoring?
Scoring. I like scoring better, but you know, I like the feeling of both after. I mean, it's, you feel good about it. You feel good about a fight too, because you see your teammates pumped up and you see the team kind of get a little jolt, and guys are, you come back to the room, to the bench, guys are all over you. Congrats. Like, saying, good job, man. Congrats. Way to get us going. So that's an unreal feeling too. So I think both are, obviously goals are more beneficial for the team at long term, as far as winning, but as far as energy and how your teammates feel about it, a fight is almost as rewarding. That's for sure.
And you mentioned boxing. Did you like traditionally, like classically trained boxer?
Well, I had a boxing coach for a long time, but I started out when I was younger. I was like maybe 13 or 14, and it started out as just training. It was a class called cardio boxing, and my dad was just like, it wasn't to the point where you get all that specialized training when you're a kid. Like, he was just like, hey, you got to work. Like, it's summer, you got not much going on. You just get a boxing class, learn how to defend yourself. It's never lost cause, and you never know when you need it, right? So that's kind of how it started. And the teacher looked at me and saw that I maybe had something. Like, he's like, he's pretty good. So he asked me in French, he was like, do you want to spar? And I didn't know what sparring was. And I was like, sure. I thought it was like a higher class. I'm like, all right, let's do it. And next thing you know, I'm 14 and I'm in the ring with an 18-year-old putting on the headgear. And I'm like, wait, what's going on?
And the guy's like,
yeah, this is sparring. Like, you're going to have like a friendly, like, sparring match. And I'm like, oh God, like, I don't know about this. I'm just training to be a hockey player. I just want to get my cardio up. So, I got worked. Like, guy was like jabbing me. He was like, I was eating jabs, like, just straight on the nose, just eating those. And I think I was maybe like 8 or 9 punches in, and I'm starting to feel dizzy already. Like, I'm 14. I have no idea. Yeah. Like, why am I fighting right now? I was a pretty tame kid. And just boxing class kind of took over. I kind of saw a cue. The guy kind of threw a wild right, and I ducked under it. And I ducked under it, and I came back with a left, and I dropped the guy.
No kidding.
And then I was just like, what just happened? And the guy like called my dad. He's like, do you want to get him into boxing? My dad was like, no, he wasn't supposed to spar. He was just training his cardio. And that's kind of like how it started. And then I just kind of translated it to hockey. And I always thought it was a plus to have in your, you know, in your arsenal of tools. So
how the hell at 14 are you picking up on guys' tells and dropping 18-year-old kids who've probably been boxing for years? Like, that's kind of like Spider-Man. Like, how does that happen?
I'm trying to remember it, because I'm pretty sure I got a concussion from it. There has to be a concussion in there somewhere. But I just remember like getting kind of dizzy from the jabs I was eating, and the guy was probably like, all right, I got him. And I remember just thinking that right's going to come at some point, because he only threw lefts, and I just kind of used the tools they taught us in class, and I just kind of ducked under it. And
whammy.
Whatever class or whatever tools I picked up, they just kind of took over.
Unbelievable. So you're undrafted.
Yeah.
Coming out of Sherbrooke, Shawinigan, Sherbrooke, Moncton, you bounced around the queue for 5 years. What's that like? Did you know that you were destined for the AHL? Did Milwaukee and Nashville come after you right away? Like, what was that like coming out of the queue?
So I was undrafted. And then after my 18-year-old year, I got invited to Nashville rookie camp. Went to rookie camp there. They cut me and then they sent me back to junior. Sorry. And then the next year they invited me again to the same camp. And then I was like, okay, got to be doing something, right?
Yeah.
And then after that rookie camp, I don't remember exactly what was said, but basically like, we'll keep an eye on you. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's bullshit, right?
Yeah, but sorry. You weren't signed, right? You still could have signed anyway. Signed. Yeah.
No, I wasn't signed. And then in February of that overage year, I had just had a game where I think I had a hat trick and a fight. And I remember thinking, all right, if this doesn't get it done for me, I'm going to play university hockey and that'll be fine.
Yeah.
And I committed to University of Toronto that day. And then later on in the day, my agent called me and was like, you got an AHL contract on the table. So calling family left and right there. My dad's like, listen, take it. If it doesn't work out, you can always come back at Christmas, not lose your eligibility. And, you know, you'll go from there. And I signed the AHL deal, and then my first year went great in the American League. And I think around February, they started talking about giving me an NHL deal, and I think it was signed in May.
That's unbelievable. So it just happened. You were ready to go to Canadian University and be done with it. Did no other teams talk to you? Because it seemed like you had a pretty good Q career, and you're a tough kid.
If they did, I'm not aware. I think I might have signed the first contract to show up, to be honest. It was still pretty early in the season. It was in February, and I think the queue doesn't end until mid or late March. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a team that I went to. It was Nashville. I went to their camp twice, so I knew they knew me, and they liked me. So I thought there was definitely value there, and I could work my way up from that AHL deal.
And then in the AHL, you just went to work. Like you fought Vial, you fought some tough guys. When did you know that you're like, okay, like this could be the path I need to get to the show?
Well, our coaches definitely helped us. Scott Ford, who's with us now in Columbus, he was my assistant coach in Milwaukee, and he's done it in the minors forever. He was a real tough guy, and he helped me out with that. But I think the one moment I remember fighting the Gallant brothers were, Alex was in Chicago and then Brett was in Cleveland. We played both those teams. And that year I fought Alex twice and Brett once. I don't want to mix this up. I think that's right. And I remember thinking, I was a good fighter in junior, but it's junior. Now I'm in the pros. These guys are like the real deal. So I gotta know right away, am I gonna be that guy or am I not gonna be that guy? And then obviously I kind of challenged Alex, gave him a cross check, he obliged, and we had two really good battles that year.
Hell of a fight, those two.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, okay, if I just survive this fight, I think I can do it. So that kind of built from there.
And then you fight Deloria.
It's NFL for all this Thanksgiving, with a week of Game Pass on DAZN for just $99. So come and watch all the games at our place.
Let's get this thing going.
Whether you're a stats king, tune in I 10 this month, or just here for turkey.
Only two things you need, turkey to eat and a football to throw.
Get every touchdown and every iconic tradition.
He's got it! Touchdown!
Celebrate Thanksgiving with DAZN for just $99. Buy now at DAZN.com/NFL.
Who I think, and I'll let you know, I'll be honest, I think Nicky's probably the toughest guy in the league right now. I love the way he fights. And you mentioned you have short arms. Nicky has the longest arms I've ever seen on a hockey player in my life. I played with him for a cup of coffee in Buffalo. He's a knuckle dragger. I was amazed at how long this kid's arms are. And then you have a huge tilt with him last year at Philadelphia. And you guys, like, you went at it. It was a good fight. Then you had a little embrace at the end. What was that about? Was he a guy you looked up to, or just you were like, that was a great fight. Good job.
I think it was just like, it was a good fight. I don't remember exactly why. Obviously, when I was coming up and my first year in Columbus, he gave it to me right away. And that's huge, right? Because now I feel like guys are having a hard time getting into fights now. It's like guys are just like, I'm not going to waste my time with you. Mm-hmm. And I was coming up trying to make a name for myself. And, he just gave it to me right away. didn't hesitate. And obviously he's kind of more like my size, but like you said, he's got long arms and
yeah.
You're always in for a good battle with him. And yeah, I think I'd put him up there on my list as well. It's probably the toughest guy in the league.
I think the one fight that everyone knows from other than the Rempe one is the Curtis Gabriel fight back in Milwaukee and Rockford. We had Gabriel on the show, and I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan of him. I think he was drinking his Kool-Aid a little bit too much, where he thought he was the man. What was that, the bloodiest fight you've ever been in? Because that was a complete just mess on the ice, not on your side.
Yeah, I caught him with one early and the visor cut him and he just splatted open.
Yeah.
I remember mid fight just looking and I'm like, oh, I can't see this guy's eyes. There's like crazy blood everywhere. But you know, again, I'm not a big trash talker guy.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
I know, but it's just the way I am. I just can't, there's a job to do. And obviously when I'm in a fight, I want to win, but
yep.
I have a hard time talking against guys because there's a lot of respect there. And I think that, to his credit, he stayed in there and it was a good fight. It was a really good fight. It was bloody. And, I was just coming back from a back surgery and he was pissed at me. I remember he was really pissed because we had played in the NHL against one another and I was about to get checked out for my back because I had a really mm-hmm. bad back that year. And we get to the AHL. I'm back from surgery. I'm ready to go. Finally feel 100% for the first time in the year. And he's like, so now you want to tilt? Like, we should have done this in the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I couldn't even, before I had my back surgery, I couldn't walk properly. I couldn't walk for 2 minutes without bending down.
Unreal.
Or trying to, yeah. So I felt bad in a way because I'm like, yeah, you're right. We should have done this up. But there was no way I was getting into that fight in the NHL and coming out on top. There was no way. So, but yeah, he was pissed at me for taking it in the A, not in the AHL. But yeah, the fight happened and it was definitely bloody.
I want to talk about that because when I fought, nobody wore visors. Like, it was just not an issue. Mm-hmm. And then if you did fight a guy with the visor, which was rare, you would just shed the buckets. And now you can't do that.
Right.
What do you guys have, like, a common agreement saying, okay, tip the visor up, let's just try to shed the helmets as quick as we can? Is there conversations before the fight or how does that go?
No, there's no conversations for that. I think, it's grandfathered in, right? So everyone's in the same boat now.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's ways around it. You can try to get the other guy's bucket off. You can try to time your punches, try to hit only chin, but it's definitely harder now with the helmets. But I do think there's a way to get inside now. I mean, obviously if you fight a guy without a visor and you have one on, I think the logical thing is to just shed the buckets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a disadvantage for sure, but there's not many guys that don't have visors anymore. So it's just not really an issue.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the worst rules in the NHL. I got it because there's a lot of eye injuries, but it just seems strange. Do your hands get all messed up? How many times you just hit clean visor?
Oh, I don't know. I kind of just, you get to a point where I'm at a point now where my hands, whether I hit helmet or not, it's more of are they cut up or not? So if I'm cut up quite a bit, I know that I hit a lot of helmet and visor. If I'm not cut up, then I know I hit mostly face. Skin.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was watching, and I hate talking about fighting, but it just is so fascinating to me. I love the Jack guy fight because you were a counter puncher. Is that your style? And again, don't talk about it if you don't want to, but you, like you said, you're always pretty much overmatched size wise. Mm-hmm. Are you a counter, like watch for them to throw, then you throw? It's a pretty standard boxing, wait till they're open, then you counterattack.
I don't think as a counter puncher. I think it's more of a, like I mentioned earlier, having the boxing background, you just kind of figure out how to time and throw the right punches.
Yeah.
But I don't think necessarily as a counter puncher. I don't like sitting back. I don't like just waiting and waiting and waiting and kind of doing those just the jersey jab and waiting for
the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. Just getting the, like the big overhand. Like, I don't like that. If you're going to fight, I feel like let's go. Like, let's start throwing. Let's be active there. If I get in a fight and I feel like there hasn't been a lot of action in it, I don't feel good about it. It's like, why do we do this? You know,
that's like, why he's the best. Yeah. That's why you're the best and people love you. Cause there's so many, I'm going to take a cue from you. I'm just not going to say bad things about people. Cause let's just stay positive. Let's talk about your line. You've been playing fantastic hockey. Who was it? Danforth and Aston Reese is the latest. Has that been their line for a while? What's going right with you guys? Why are you guys having so much success?
Yeah, there's been a few different lines this year. I think anytime I play with Danny and Reeser, well, it's three guys that just think the same way, right? We just want to play straight ahead, you know, in your face, physical hockey. And you know, Reeser has a lot of experience. He's played for a long time and I think he's a smart player. He's been a great ad for us. He's been very effective. And Danny's not as much of a known player, but he should be because he's so versatile. He can play center. He can play the wing. You can put him up on a first line. You can put him on the fourth line.
Yeah.
He can kind of do it all. And he's so easy to play with. Right. So, I think it's just a common agreement. It's just play hard, physical, straight ahead hockey and stand over pucks in the ozone, play simple, just shoot. Like it's really nothing special. The way we think about it, it's just, we're trying to be effective and we're trying to be, as straight line and forward as we can be. And whenever us three play together, it's definitely that way.
Yeah, it's funny. We had Lomberg on last week. He's in Calgary now, but it's crazy how effective it is these days to just play solid hockey. Get the pucks in deep, finish your check, throw it on net, get a rebound, score a goal, play good defensively. Do you find that it's not easy. Easy is an understatement, but you get rewarded if you do the right thing these days, because a lot of times coaches teach toe drag, east-west style of play. So you're going north-south. It must be nice.
Yeah, I guess you got to know your identity, right? You look at guys I just look at our team. Like if I see, you know, Marchenko or guys like Chinnikov that are making plays and they're getting points, like obviously that's their game and they're successful at it.
Yeah.
But I think guys are so, the game is so fast and the guys are so good now that if you don't have that high end skill set, you have to simplify it down and your skill can take over in other ways, right? Like you can take over and being like tight area plays, getting open and like in the ozone, getting good at tips. You know, every team now, it seems like they're not going D to D. They're just throwing it on net and trying to get those rebound goals or there's nice bounces goals. So yeah, it's you can get rewarded, but you have to play hard because it's definitely not easy. And if you're not moving your feet, teams are just breaking out. And you know, we played Carolina last game, and they're hard to play against because they just go, they just rim everything, and it's just chip, rim, slash. It's just all like we're not even thinking, we're doing this, and it's hard to play against, and they have success doing it. So
it was 7-6, right, in overtime.
That was the Tampa game. Last game was 5-4 in shootout.
You guys are scoring a lot of goals.
What's that?
You guys are scoring a lot of goals. How the hell is that happening?
Yeah, we are. We are scoring a lot of goals, but we're letting up too many as well. That's true. That's
you got to look at the positive side, man.
Yeah, but the positive is we are scoring a lot of goals. But, you know, we went through a tough stretch on our Western trip where we couldn't get more than one or two goals. So, you know, I think the focus as a team right now is really tightening up our defense because we know our offense is going to most nights get us what we need.
Well, I actually watched that Carolina game. Just an incredible game. You guys tied it up with just about a minute left. 3-on-3 overtime, just back and forth, nonstop action. You guys end up taking in a shootout. First question is, it only went three rounds, but why weren't you one of the shooters?
Oh, Tim, stop.
You should have been in there, man.
I think if there's a list, I'm probably still 18 out of 20, and that's in front of the two goalies. So, but no, honestly, I mean, we just have really good shootout guys. And you know what? Sean Corrali won the shootout competition the other day in practice, so he probably should have gotten a tap as the fourth guy. I mean, my book, he's earned it. So
you guys do that a lot. I used to do that too back in Chicago. And Q would say, if you win a couple, we're going to put you in. I'm like, there's not a chance you're putting me in. But how do you do this? What's your move? What's your go-to move?
Oh, man. Keep it simple. I got a decent shot, so I try to shoot as much as I can. But yeah.
Keep it simple on a breakaway.
Oh, I keep it simple, man. Just nothing crazy. That's
such a meathead answer.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it sure is. But no, I got a few moves, but it's more like, I mean, it's not my forte. So I just kind of roll with it. Whatever I feel like I can do. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But once in a while, I'll pull something out of my hat and the guys are like, whoa, what's going on there?
Well, one of your teammates I want to ask about, Sean Monahan, what a season he's having. It seemed like, you know, 2-3 years ago, he was sort of on the back nine and the league had passed him by, and here he is putting up a point per game. What have you seen from him this season?
Oh, man, he's been awesome. He's been such a great addition. Talk about a good teammate and great guy. But, you know, he went through some tough injuries, and you can just tell with the way he prepares off the ice. There's so much that goes into it. He spends so much time at the rink just getting prepared on the Pilates machine or whatever he's doing. But it just shows on the ice. I mean, he's a smart player, and he does everything right. Plays both ways of the puck so well. So, I mean, if you ask me if I'm surprised, no, I'm not surprised to see him be that effective and that good this year.
The other guy I want to ask about is the kid I mentioned we've already had on our show, Fantilli. What have you seen from him? What do you think his potential could be?
Oh, his ceiling is really high. He flies and his skill, like his hands go as fast as his feet. Like he's honestly really fun to watch. He's a young guy. Like that's, you know, people, I see some things online where people are like, eh, he's having like a down year. I don't think he's having a down year. I think he's playing well. I think it's just, some of the opportunities just haven't gone in for him. And that's kind of the thing for him this year. We're all just saying, hey man, like just keep going. You're playing great. It'll go in at some point. And I know that he wants to produce more, and we're all just like, hey, like just focus on what you're doing well. And it's going to go in at some point. You're good. Like you're playing well. You got a good responsibility with our team, like big role. So just keep going.
He just turned 20 like last month. Like he's a baby. So it's amazing. He has that many expectations on him already, but it's cool that people thought he was going to have a huge role, like a big expectations and responsibility. He doesn't. He can sit back and grow his game because Sean Monahan comes in. You're having a great year. Marchenko's playing fantastic. So it's not like the team is suffering. It's cool to see you guys really just grow around him so he could just take his time, learn the game, be a good hockey player, because he's a hell of a player. Absolutely hell of a player. Huge kid, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's going to be able to do it all. And, you know, you look at fans this year and the way he's well surrounded, like you talked about. Like Kent Johnson got hurt, but he's a guy that his second year too, he like kind of was in the same situation. Look how great he's been. I don't know how many games he's played, but I know he's got over a point per game and he is just buzzing this year. So I'm not worried about him at all.
Yeah, that's a fun line. Him, Fantilli, and Chinnikov. Yeah, they're a good group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great player. Chinny might have the hardest shot I've ever seen. This guy can just rip it. Ever? He has like, that I've seen in person for sure.
I mean, a lot of Russians on your team.
A lot of Russians. Yeah. The Russian mafia.
Do they speak Russian in the room?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they do. Well, I mean, Voronkov doesn't know English really well. And so that kind of doesn't help the guys switch to English in the sense that, he's got to talk somehow. But they're teaching him. He's better this year than he was last year. But a lot of Russians.
Tarasov on the back. Yeah, there's like five or six of them. That's funny.
Yeah, and Elvis is Latvian, so he knows Russian too. So,
there you go. Too many. Yeah. I think too many. Got to get rid of some of them.
Oh man, they're awesome though. They're all good guys.
All right, Tim. Let's get to some rapid fire and let's get Matt out of here.
Yeah, we'll wrap up with some rapid-fire questions. The first one comes from John on our Patreon. He said, what's the best advice you've ever gotten from a coach?
Oh, well, I had my dad as a coach, so I'll use that one. Really just know your identity and play to it, right? Be the best at it. So when I was coming up, I think he noticed early that I wasn't going to score 50 a year, but he noticed that I was – blocking shots. I was hitting. I had some offense, but, you know, I was a good PK-er. You know, he noticed a lot of things in my game that not a lot of kids take pride in. So being around pro hockey and having him kind of notice that, he instilled in me early to, you know, if you're going to be a hockey player, I think that's going to be your role, and try to be the best you can be at those things. And if you are really good at a few specific things, you're going to have a better chance to make it. And yeah, I just really, that's been kind of the motto since day one, and it's worked out really well.
That's the best advice I've ever heard from somebody ever. That's amazing. Because kids these days, oh, I'm going to be the best. I'm like, no, you're not. So try to do something else and be really good at it. So that's great advice.
Yeah. And the message was always like, you can play. You can play. You're a good player. You can make pro. But here's where you have to excel. And it might not, if you don't want to, that's fine. But you might not make it. Mm-hmm. If you want to make it, this is where you got to be good. I've always wanted to be a hockey player. So it was a no-brainer for me.
That's awesome.
Which teammates do you spend the most time with?
Oh God. I try to spend at least some time with most of the guys, at least grab dinner left and right, you know, on the road. At home, I have my family, so it's a little harder obviously to get some stuff going. But I think, you know, the Russians kind of hang out with themselves. It's just the way it kind of works out. But most of the guys, you know, on the road, I kind of mix it up here and there. It's kind of hard to pinpoint one guy specifically.
He doesn't have any friends, Tim. This is why it's so hard for him to answer this question. He's like,
you can
everybody.
You can go. He has no friends, or he has so many friends. You can go one way or the other.
Endless amount on the Rolodex. Oh,
I just get along with everybody.
What a good answer. See, when I played, I had one guy usually on every team. Where you're like, that'd be my dinner guy, and I don't know. I always had a routine, but we had roommates back when I played, so it made it easier. So now you're on your own room. So
yeah, except the entry level guys, they have roommates. So,
and the Russians, they have one big room and they just discotheque all night and they never sleep.
I don't know what they're doing, but anyways, they're doing something.
Who's the hardest defenseman to play against?
That's a good question. I got to think about that one. Hardest defenseman to play against. I always, like I mentioned Carolina, I never have good games against them. I think they're so good at, they're mobile, they're good. You know how you have nothing and you try to dump the puck in? Mm-hmm. They just swat it out of the air. All of them. And that, it pisses me off so much because I'm like, I'm doing the right thing. They're still getting it. Mm-hmm. So I think that Carolina group's pretty good. Slavin, Burns.
Who would you rather, what type of defenseman would you rather play against? A big physical guy like Burnsy, or a skilled guy, like a puck mover, like an Adam Fox?
Depends which situation in the game. I think if I'm going in a battle, I don't mind a big physical guy because I can stand with pretty much most of them as far as strength wise. And I can kind of play off of that. But when you got a guy like Adam Fox or Yossi or Makar coming at you full speed, and you're like, oh God, what am I doing? Those guys are so good. So yeah, I think I'd say a big physical guy.
Yeah.
All right. Last question here. List out two underrated players. You can pick one on your team and one on another team.
Well, I think Werenski should get more recognition for what he's doing this year. Yeah. I saw he got the number one star, but man, he should be in the Norris conversation this year. He is absolutely unreal. I think he needs to be talked about. On another team, those are tough questions. That's the type of stuff I'm not good at. I'm not good to think of that on the spot. That's a good question. I think I'm just going to say Werenski, keep it to him. I mean, obviously people know he's a great D-man, but he needs to be considered better than what people are talking about.
Can you believe he's got 20 points, point per game? Cale Makar's got 30 this year.
Oh, yeah.
That's stupid. What's it like playing against him? I never played against a cat like that because the new breed of defensemen came in after I left. It seems like Makar and these types of Fabers. when he gets the puck, do you just change like that's enough?
No, but no, I try to match up, but man, does he expose some guys. But I just know that whenever if I'm in the D zone and he's on the blue line and he's my defenseman as the winger, I'm not even taking a stride out. I'm just waiting, because if I commit even the slightest, he's going to expose you. So you just try to play the shooting lane and, you know, stay square, stay on the D side, because he can dance around anybody. I mean, it's crazy.
And then head on a swivel, because he's never in his spot when he doesn't have the puck. Like he moves so much. I would be so bad in today's game, Tim.
We know.
So bad.
We know that.
Although I did just have the Sharks alumni game, and I was Polkcheck and Jumbo and Marlowe and Setoguchi and all these. I was the best player on the ice.
Yeah, well, you're an all-star. You can play.
MVP. Let's just put some respect on it and not forget what happened in that game. Matthew, I appreciate that, but no. Anyways, man, listen, I appreciate you coming on. This was such a great interview. I know you got to go get back to your kids and your wife, and you got a game tomorrow, I think.
Yep.
So yeah, I appreciate the time. Yeah, you're going to have a good, maybe, I don't want to talk about fighting, but yeah, good luck tomorrow, whatever happens. Thank you to the family for letting you do this. And yeah, man, this was great. You're a well-spoken guy. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me on. It was fun.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate the support, and we'll talk to you next time. Cheers.
It's NFL for all this Thanksgiving, with a week of Game Pass on DAZN for just $99. So come and watch all the games at our place.
Let's get this thing going.
Whether you're a stats king,
tune in I 10 this month,
or just here for turkey.
Only two things you need, turkey to eat and a football to throw.
Get every touchdown and every iconic tradition.
He's got it! Touchdown!
Celebrate Thanksgiving with DAZN for just $99. Buy now at DAZN.com/NFL.